You made a noise and we're doing the show.
It's loud.
Jerk. Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right
and
now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get in the top 10. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll make Emery cry.
How are you going to make me cry?
I'll just make fun of your horrific disfigurement.
Don't be a bully.
So you're not denying that you are disfigured?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are disfigured?
Cut that out!
What, your disfigured face?
Please, everyone, subscribe now. I can't take the abuse.
We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content. And certainly has nothing for you, Sylvia Brown, you fucking con whore. We're coming to you live from Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Ian Harris, Ron Swallow, and Maurice Northup, as well as Shelley Siegel. You know these folks from showbiz. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on.
Crazy Zoo announcements.
Glad to be back. Glad to be back.
And then thank you so much. Thanks. We have a full table tonight. Shelley happened to be in town. I had already booked you three fuckers, and I said, I don't care. I'm going to add Shelley to the show. Thanks for being here, Shelley.
Thanks for having me again.
You're coming through... You're coming through the area because you're headed where?
Yeah, I'm on my way back to Australia. I just finished a 3-month tour. Tomorrow's my last show.
Oh yeah,
heading home.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you, and you're gonna play something, I hope.
Yeah, I'll have a crack later.
All right. Once
you're
we get some
crack later.
Once we get cracking, Shelley,
not on
she'll
the
play
show.
Okay.
Save it for the mayor of Toronto.
The mayor of Toronto. What's that about? Is that a crack guy?
Smoke crack.
Yeah, they
son of a bitch. I need to read more news.
Like Marion Barry.
I'm an idiot.
Don't. It just
Marion Barry goes
happiness.
Way back. Yeah, it does hamper your happiness. Thank you for saying that. Do you follow the news, Maurice?
I do because I like to be topical and I try to write stuff every week. But lately I've found that it's affecting my mood.
I fundamentally try not to look at news, certainly on TV. I'll find bites that friends on Facebook or other friends will email me, and I'll go look at news in that way. And every once in a while, I'll jump on Yahoo and see what looks interesting. So I'm picking the bites that I want to look at, you know? So if there's a story about a big fish that, you know, bit someone's balls off, I want to read that.
I have no idea what's going on ever.
You don't watch news at all?
I read fantasy books and read comic books.
Yeah?
And then I watch Supernatural.
That's it.
I mean, and then I do comedy all the time. That's
okay. Well, this is a great, very small study here. You don't watch news. Are you generally a happy guy?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
So, would you consider yourself a geek or a nerd?
He's a gerd.
I'm more a dork. Probably.
You're more of a dork.
You prefer dork?
I concur.
Dork or a nerd? Because dorks generally are. And this is my opinion. A large group of people who like a bunch of different. Sort of counterculture stuff.
Right.
Whereas to me, geek is usually techno, like technical, and nerd is super focused. Like they just play Dungeons and Dragons or they just love Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And so
someone who has defined all of those in such a strict and specific way is all of those.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
This is something I think about quite
often.
You're
a nerd when it comes to classifying geeks and dorks.
Yeah.
And himself.
Yes.
Well, good for you for knowing.
Well, you know.
I don't... when I was a kid, geek was the thing, the guy, the homeless guy, the hobo, they called him then, that was hired by this local, the traveling circus, that would eat the heads off chickens and rats.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what geek used to mean.
Yeah, circus.
Who books that?
Yeah. Who books that geek? Maurice, showing his roster to be kind of low. You guys have a gig coming up, right?
Yeah, we're about to go down to San Diego on June 1st, and we're going to be performing at the Secular Humanist Convention. We're very excited about that.
Nice.
Yes, the American Humanist National Convention.
Cool.
Fun.
Cool. Ian,
That's me.
I know we've had you on the show and we've talked about it before, but I want to talk again because we're moving forward. I think Showtime is looking at your special.
Yes.
And the reason I think I know that is because I sent it in. And
exactly.
And Starz, I think, is looking at it, right?
Starz and Epix.
Epix. Okay, good.
I was there.
You were there?
You were there.
It was awesome.
All right.
Everybody here except for one who might have been in Australia.
Yeah, what's your problem?
What the hell?
Foreigner. Don't you love America?
No.
Sorry, there's a lot to not love.
Thank you. I'm glad. No, I don't. Okay, good.
Yeah, again, read the news.
That's why I spend all my time here, because I hate it.
Well, I'm a big fan of saying don't watch news. I think they just feed you fear. And I think that people take it in, and I think that they process it in a really awful and negative way, and I think it makes people's lives fundamentally unhappy, generally speaking.
It does for me. When I write jokes about... Because I'm a news nerd.
Yeah.
I often feel like I'm playing the fiddle on the Titanic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, society's going down the toilet. Yeah. Government's getting worse. Hey, here's a dick joke for you.
You play a lot of fiddle.
As long as I've known you, you've kind of been a government's going to fuck us kind of guy. I mean, you worry about that shit.
Well, it started with history. Like, you know, I started reading history about it. Oh, they fuck people over all the time. Yeah. Look at all the shitty things they do.
It started when government was fucking people over forever.
Yeah. Right. You read about Japanese internment camps, stuff like that, and you're like, oh, this actually happened. Like,
well, you know a lot about history. I've heard this claim many times by a couple of people, and I think it's accurate. And that is that when you look historically, when you look at societies in 50 to 100 year chunks, our lives are get dramatically better when you look at them in that way. The problem that we have sometimes is we live in this now bubble, yeah. And we have the shelf filled with all these awful things that are bothering us or that are more. The shelf is mostly filled with things we're afraid of, yeah. Not things that are really going to hit us. You know what I mean?
Well,
your average American is not going to get AIDS.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
No. Go ahead.
We're in this crazy. We're actually in that time period of change too, if you think about it. Because I mean, I'm 36, so I'm not super old, but I'm at an age where 15 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, there weren't cell phones. 25 years ago, I had to talk on a phone,
right?
Like
that had a wire that went to the wall.
Didn't hide in the closet, so my mom didn't listen to me talk to girls.
Right.
Even though I should have let her do that because she thought
it
was gay.
It was $8.99 a minute, people. That was.
But you know what I mean? Like
you laugh at your own joke.
$8.99. But it's
so all of this nerd stuff that you do. I'm sorry, geek stuff. Which is it?
Whatever.
Well, are you doing that to prove to mom you're not gay?
No, not at all. Okay. She doesn't really talk to me anymore.
He's doing it to prove to himself.
No.
That he's not
No, I already know about that because it's not a choice.
It's not a choice?
Yeah, no.
I think it can be.
To be gay?
I think it can be. I think homosexual activity, I think bisexual behavior, I think a lot of those things can be.
Well,
I don't
anything
think
you do is a choice. If you're like, I'm going to put my penis in something, that's a choice you've just
woohoo!
Made.
Yes,
right there.
So, I mean, I get that. I see what you're saying. But being attracted to it is a total different thing.
I disagree with the sentence, it's not a choice. I think all sexual encounters, all the things that we can do, are choices available to us. They shouldn't be restricted in any way. They're personal.
Yeah.
Everybody who is a consenting adult should be able to partake of whatever they want if they choose. And if they don't choose, they shouldn't have to, obviously.
Yeah.
I think saying it's... not a choice is an inaccurate sentence, and I think in the discussion...
You don't choose who you're attracted to.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely, I choose who I'm attracted
to. I don't.
To.
I just am instinctively attracted to people.
I don't think it's that simple. I think there's like a full spectrum.
That's exactly right. And I think it's a mistake to make the argument that it's not a choice.
You think there's not a full spectrum?
I don't think there's anything wrong with
when it comes to attraction.
That's exactly right.
But I don't think it's like that black and white. I don't think it's like either you are totally attracted to dudes or you are totally attracted to girls.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying my attraction... is totally random, and it's not a choice I make. I don't know. I don't have a specific type I'm attracted to.
Uh-huh.
I mean, sometimes I like a redhead that's thin, and sometimes I like a chubby. Sometimes even like a fat girl who has a giant ass and who might shake a little bit. You know what I mean? It all depends on what I'm attracted to, and I don't choose what I'm attracted to. I'm telling you that
because
all of a sudden. That would be true if I ever drank a drop of
alcohol.
You don't
drink, do you? You don't drink at all?
Not only do I not drink, I've never drank ever.
Ever?
Ever. I've never ever had a drop of alcohol. So any
No drugs?
No drugs.
Coffee?
Nothing.
Caffeine's a drug.
I've had, I used to drink way too much soda.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. That'll fuck with you.
Yeah.
Cool.
But almost.
And that's when you were going through your fat, jiggly ass stage?
Yeah, no. Sadly, that has never happened. I would love for
he
that
was
to
hanging
happen.
Out in those soda
yeah,
circles.
I would shake my ass all day long if I could do it.
The reason I say it's a choice is because for most of my adult life, I lived as a heterosexual person. And it occurred to me at a particular point in time that that restriction that I had in my head about any kind of homosexual interaction with another man was just awful. It didn't appeal to me, and I made the argument you made. And something happened. I don't know if it was mushrooms or...
Can you pinpoint when that happened?
No, I really can't. It was certainly a process, much like you can't oftentimes pinpoint when you turn atheistic. You know what I mean? A lot of people talk about it being a gradual experience that brought them to a specific place that they then can talk about as I am now. It wasn't a single hey, that guy looks a little like a girl. You know what I mean?
My ex-wife had a specific moment that made her...
Gay?
Atheist.
Oh, atheist? Oh, share that. I'd love to hear that.
Her parents were... what's the one where they talk in tongues? Pentecostal?
Yeah.
Well, they were also Catholic. Sorry.
Evangelistic, too.
Because Jesus told them to go to the Catholic Church. In her little head, her mom said Jesus told them to go to the Catholic Church as well to go to the Pentecostal. But in the Pentecostal Church, they look down on you if you don't start talking in tongues.
Right.
So she just didn't want to be given shit. So she got up and started making up some bullshit.
As does everybody,
yeah,
by the way.
Well, obviously.
Including me when I did it.
And then someone stood up and started translating what she was saying.
There you go.
And she knew exactly that she was bullshitting.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that person stood up and started translating what she was saying, she was like, oh, yeah, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Like, it's not real. Nothing.
That
real.
Was her. That was her.
That was the moment where she was done with it. There were a few small things.
Her come away from Jesus moment.
There was a few small things that, like, happened because... A weird thing about her parents is they were like, hey, be smart. Pay attention to what's going on so you can make great choices in your life. And always be
like
educate yourself.
Contradiction.
But they don't realize because their belief is so strong that they think that if you're smart and pay attention that you'll choose the Bible. But then she started reading through the Bible and being like, well, they really hate women in this thing and I am a woman. And had a lot of problems with that. And those were small things that pushed it. And then when she did the fake talk in tongues thing and someone translated for her, she was like, okay, I'm done.
That was it.
You know what's funny is I actually saw years ago, probably 20-some years ago, a documentary, and I forgot what it was. A guy wrote a book, and then a few people did this, but the different stories are what they remember. Leap of Faith, that the movie with Steve Martin, where he pretended to be an evangelist, or whatever.
They actually took
this from a guy who went around and uncovered a bunch of the evangelists that were out there, like thousands of them. He went around and found like some had. Like an RV with people listening in, and they were doing all this kind of stuff to get information, whatever. But one of the most incredible moments I ever saw, and I've always been an atheist, but I watched this in a class in college, like an argumentation class, and I actually saw some people kind of turn. And what it was, we were watching the documentary, and they brought this lady up on stage in a wheelchair, and he goes, I'm going to have you walk. You're going to walk. Get up out of that chair and walk. And she gets up out of the chair and she walks. And she's like, hey, it's a miracle, and they throw her down on the ground, do whatever, and they give her some crutches, and she sits back down in the thing. And at the end of the show, the guy who's doing the documentary comes up to her and goes, excuse me, can I talk to you? She goes, yeah. And he says, so what happened in there? She goes, it's a miracle, isn't it? It's just a miracle. And he's like, where's your wheelchair? She goes, oh, that wasn't my wheelchair. They gave me that wheelchair when I came in.
Yeah.
And he goes, but they wheeled you up on the wheelchair and made you walk. She goes, I know, isn't it amazing? And he's like, but you walked in here. She goes, well, I was on crutches. He's like, you're still on crutches. She's like, I know, but it's just the power of the Lord. And he's like, wait, you walked in here.
Right.
They put you in a wheelchair. They made you walk out of the wheelchair, and they gave you back your crutches, and you're leaving. What's the miracle? And she was just like, it's just Jesus. It's so great. And she left, and you could see people in the classroom that were kind of like on the fence going, oh, wow. I kind of maybe bought into some of this stuff before, but I never... It was just crazy because the lady believed it.
Yeah.
And she came without a fucking wheelchair and left and was like still convinced that a miracle happened and nothing had happened to her.
There's a great documentary. If anybody out there has not seen it, I highly recommend it. It's called Marjo. And this guy was raised by televangelists. His parents were televangelist fakers. And he was the youngest televangelist in America or the world or whatever. They taught him as a kid how to do the shtick.
Yes.
And in this documentary, he's a grown man, and he's like, I'm going to show you everything. This is a complete phony thing. I'm a phony. And he took the camera crew into the community, and he showed everybody how he did everything that he did. The guy lives, he's still alive. He lives, in Long Beach or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We got to get him on the show.
Right? We'll get him on.
Unbelievable.
Marjo. Yeah, his name is a combination of Mary and Joseph.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Is he an atheist?
During the time of the documentary, which I think was late 70s or early 80s when they made it, I believe it was late 70s, he kind of came off as a hippie spiritualist. Like, he believed there was something out there, like some kind of energy, but definitely not Christian.
Right.
But I don't know what his beliefs are now, if they've evolved at all.
We got to find that guy. All right, it's time for a break. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mary, R as in ridiculous, O as in orgasm, ad.com/Emery Emery, and get a slice of comedy that should never have been made, let alone sold to living human beings.
If you need to rub cream cheese on your nipples and dance a jig whilst
whistling Dixie.
Whistling Dixie. You got 2 minutes. You fucking nut job.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists. Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
And now back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Ian Harris, Ron Swallow, Maurice Northup, and Shelley Siegel. Thanks again for being here, everybody.
Sure. Pleasure.
We have that one ad. We're not running the That's Not Funny video. I got to get that off my list because that thing did not raise enough money, and they have to start over on...
They sent the money back to everybody, huh?
Well, it doesn't work that way. It's a pledge thing is how it works. But
also, I don't know if you know this, but on Ustream, they're showing little 30-second commercials that have nothing to do with us from time to time. They show one right when you first start.
Oh, let me tell the viewers that. Okay, since leaving GoCast lost their location and we left. And the only reason we're able to continue doing video is because Greg, the guy who used to run GoCast, he lost his location. He lost the whole kit and caboodle. He and a partner had a breakup thing. And he, out of the kindness of his heart, loaned me his video equipment so that we could continue doing video out of the house here. And we're still looking for a home. We're not sure where we're going to land. But thank you, Greg, for that. You will, on occasion, apparently be seeing video breaks at Ustream because we don't have a pro account there. They charge an ass load of money for that. We're going to look into how to resolve that. So my apologies to the live viewers. Now, I want to tell you all something. This is kind of cool. We've decided that we're going to do... Aw.
That's for nice. BJ.
Hi, BJ. Did you say
BJ.
So
hi, BJ.
We've decided, everybody, that what we're going to do is we're going to give you guys the premium episode if you come watch live. So you'll see the first hour. We'll cut. Then we'll start recording the premium. And rather than only recording it audio, we're going to record it as a Ustream as well. And you'll be able to watch there. So that's a perk for coming and watching live.
Cool.
I think most of the people watching live are already subscribers anyway. So it doesn't bother me in that sense. But it doesn't bother me anyway. We're only going to show it to you that moment. And then if you've missed it, and you're a subscriber, you can still get the audio download. And we're trying to figure out a way that we can give the premium subscribers a full video download as well. That's on our agenda. Bear with us. We got a lot on our plate trying to find a new home for the new studio, a new home for us.
The video is important because you guys are very attractive.
Well, thank you very much. I don't know that.
And then you can't. If you don't see Ron the video, you can't see this.
That's exactly right. Does are we able to see the?
We can see it.
Okay.
And I think Ron just made a choice.
And now weirdly enough, clear. I'll still have sex.
I want to be with whom? Whomever you want.
Yeah.
Whomever you choose. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Well, that's not whomever I choose. Yes, it they've is. Got a.
Yeah.
A
reciprocal.
Part of that's rape.
Yeah. He's not in the army.
And I don't do that.
I'm choosing you.
Are you wanting to tell us about a stalking? All right, listen, Ron, here's the deal. The reason I jumped on that,
yeah.
I wanted to be clear because I don't think I got the chance to. I think the gay rights argument needs to never, ever invoke choice versus genetics.
Okay. Why is that?
I'll tell you why. It doesn't matter. Whether it's choice, whether it's genetics, doesn't matter. We live in a free fucking country. Yeah. And there, nobody should be legislating their own morality upon others.
Oh, yeah,
and when you make it simply about the freedom, then the discussion is over. It's fucking over. Mm-hmm. The only what you're left with on the other side of the argument are people who are obviously bigots. You create a scenario wherein all they get to do is look like the bigots that they're being.
Yeah, and on top of that, you can't talk a bigot out of being a bigot with logic. So even if you explain,
it's not a choice.
Even if you proved, even if you proved beyond like with obvious facts and science and et cetera, that it wasn't a choice. If that's their argument, because a lot of them say, well, these guys choose to do this as an argument.
My answer to that always is, so what?
Yeah,
I chose to be bisexual at a point in my life, and I fucking love it. Period. And I'm glad that I discovered that that option is available to me. I'm glad that I sloughed off the fucking ignorance and the fear of religion, and I found that there are options for me in the bedroom when I want to exercise them.
Yeah, and there should be.
Yeah, so
fair enough.
That's my argument. That's why I brought it up.
I
like making that point as often as I can. What?
When did you discover you were bisexual, Maurice?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
Well, and let me be clear. If at any point I'm attracted to a dude, I'll gladly be attracted to a dude. Just haven't been yet.
Right. Well, there you go.
But that doesn't make me nervous.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I touched his hand under the table hoping he would react. Really cool.
I don't care. Cool. It doesn't bother me. I'm just not attracted.
Yeah, Maurice is known for playing cock chicken. He's very good at it. Very good at it.
I got a question for you because I got into an argument with somebody. Speaking of we mentioned rape and we mentioned choosing. Somebody was talking about on the internet about rape jokes.
Yeah.
You know, hey, that's like a big topic because of Daniel Tosh, whatever. And my thing is, maybe I'm wrong, but I say we're talking about being offended. And I say, you choose to be offended.
Yeah.
And somebody was saying,
no, it's genetics.
They were saying that, no, you don't choose to be offended. And they were like, do you choose to laugh? And I go, laughter is a little bit different. Although you are conditioned to laugh at certain things based on your knowledge. I mean, if you say something to me in Swahili, I'm not going to laugh because I don't know what the fuck you're saying. If you say something that reference that I don't understand, I'm not going to laugh because I don't get it. But it's still a conditioned response. Being offended is a choice, is it not? I mean, how come I'm not offended by anything?
Anger is probably as innate. It's like an emotional response. It's probably as innate as laughter. But it is something that you can control. I mean, you can learn to hold back and not respond angrily straight away. But I think there's a difference between being offended and having a joke trigger you. I don't think that's something you can really control.
What does that even mean to be offended? I mean, to me that seems like...
Well, you can be offended and also think on it and change
You know
your
what
mind.
It's like to be offended. Yeah. You've seen shitty comedy.
Yeah. Well, I'm offended by shitty comedy. Rape jokes are the worst.
That was what I said.
They are the worst of the jokes because it's like, here's why. And I'll tell you why. I don't care if you have a good rape joke. That's great. Do your rape joke if that's what you feel like doing.
I do.
Here's the thing.
A good one. I
disagree, by the way. I don't think the joke's good.
Really?
I mean, I still love you, but I don't think it's a good joke.
Well, let's fix it if it's not good.
Because
that's what friends do.
But I don't have a problem with you doing any joke. Why are you doing it?
Yeah.
What do you mean, why are you doing it?
To me,
I don't give a fuck why someone's saying what they're saying.
I actually do, but this is just because it's my personal view on stand-up. It has nothing to do with right or wrong in this situation. But my personal view of stand-up is when you talk about something and you're doing jokes about something, why are you doing those jokes?
Okay.
Like anything I talk about because I care about it or I'm passionate about it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to do a rape joke because it's not my business. I don't care about it, and I don't. If I did a rape joke, it'd be talking about how shitty human beings are. My buddy Becky Kluger has a great joke about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And saying that, you know, because, you know, they were like, well, she had three different dudes come in her panties. And she was like, I don't care if her superhero name is Captain Cum Bucket. She still gets to say no.
Right.
And then she's like, well, women, the other argument is women lie about rape. Well, yeah, okay, sure. You know who else lies about rape? Rapists. And that joke, to me, has a point and is talking about rape.
Yeah. Where it's a rape joke.
Yeah, it's a rape joke.
And that's what I'm saying. Not all rape jokes are off limits, but yeah, but yeah, you make a point.
Nothing should be off limits.
No,
let me
never.
Say that. However, I do think some of these guys are just shitty at comedy, and I don't think that shit's funny.
No argument there.
But that's just my opinion.
For me, what drives me nuts is what I cannot stand are people who do shock for shock's sake. First off,
that's what I'm talking about.
Because I don't think anything should be shocking anymore. I'm not 12, so it doesn't shock me. But that's why I get pissed when they lump somebody who I think is a great comic in, like it's Stanhope, and they call him a shock comic. I'm like, he's not a shock comic.
In my opinion, he's the opposite of shock comic.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like,
everything
just because he says stuff that you
point.
May find is shocking, yeah, he has a point. He has something behind it. People who just say stuff in order to be shocking, to me, that's just fucking lazy. And if you're going to say I'm offended by something, I'm offended by your shitty writing skills and by your laziness.
Is this a shitty joke?
Really. Let's hear it.
You wrote it, right?
Yeah, it's okay. My joke.
No, okay. Right.
Do the joke, you pussy. He almost did the joke. You wrote it?
No,
yeah, it's
going to
be shitty. That's the joke. All right, go.
Well, I don't think women should be allowed in the military. I know it's a controversial opinion, but I don't think women should be allowed in the military. They can't even fight the rapists in their own unit.
I think that's funny. That's funny.
I have not laughed at it yet.
He doesn't like it. But it's funny because
I don't know
someone
why. It just doesn't funny
joke.
To me at all.
Someone
it does have
buy
a point, though.
I'm not even
well,
sure
first of
what
all,
it is.
They may have wanted to buy it, so I know.
I also
please,
know nothing about the military.
Don't sell that joke to someone but me. Let me be clear, Ron.
Yeah.
Of course, you don't find that joke funny, and I get that. Yeah. I'm
not
understand.
Offended by it either, by the way.
Oh, good for you.
I just don't think it's funny.
He just doesn't like it.
I think it's funny. I wouldn't try and punch it, actually. I wouldn't try and donkey punch it up. I think it's funny. The bottom line is, when we get into this discussion, what we're really talking about is, does anybody have the right to tell another performer what they should or shouldn't do? And at the end of
never.
The day,
never.
In the pro- thank you. We all agree on that.
Yep.
At the end of the day, the guy who's doing shock comedy for shock's sake, he's trying to learn the craft.
Yeah.
And he may or may not get there. He may forever be mired down by his inability to understand that making a social or a political or a socio-political or a personal statement is how you connect with people on a more significant level and end up with CDs, DVDs, and TV gigs. That is a necessary step in the process.
Yeah, and it is a lot of young comics who are doing that.
Absolutely. Right. And many of them fall off the cliff and disappear. They don't continue doing the craft.
Still falling.
And there is one dude who literally, like, they have him on stage and he does 9 minutes straight of just rape jokes. And now I wondered for a while if the point of him doing that was to say, well, I'm going to talk whatever the fuck I want to talk about.
I actually kind of had this idea when all this started blowing up is doing a full set that's just rape after rape after rape joke. Does it work?
I've seen it work once.
Yeah.
And I've seen it not work 3 times.
Okay.
But, you know, I also haven't seen him a bunch of other times. I've only seen him 4 times.
Is he a good performer, or is he kind of forcing it?
Looked all right to me.
To see what I joke?
It looked all right to me. I mean, he seemed okay.
Okay.
I mean,
what's his name?
Fuck, what is his name? I can't remember. It's the blogger wrote
Kobe
about him.
Kobe Bryant.
Okay. Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant.
Well,
that blogger wrote about him, actually.
Yeah, I hadn't, I didn't know we were going there with today's show, but...
Sorry, I didn't mean it. I just
not at all, not at all. It's not a complaint. It's, I really enjoy talking about this topic, and it's certainly still hot. That's what the movie That's Not Funny is about. It's about, it's about who should say or shouldn't say what. And at the end of the day, the libertarian in me, because I have a touch of that stuff, that freedom fighting thing in me, it's always a discussion that can't go anywhere in terms of enforcement. Nobody can stop or should even pretend like they have the right to stop somebody else from saying anything ever, period. You know what I mean?
That was my question when I kept saying in this little online argument, I say, so what are you suggesting?
Yeah.
What is the person in this article suggesting? It says in there, I don't want thought police. Then shut the fuck up, because I don't know what else you want me. So, great, you don't like his joke. okay, move on. Yeah. What do you want to do about it?
You're allowed to blog about it, and you're allowed to respond. Like, everyone's allowed to say exactly what they want, and everyone else is allowed to respond and say, hey, you can say that. It's your right, but I'm my right to say you're a fucking douchebag with no purpose, and you're a shit comedian. Like,
exactly, but that's the thing is, like, so what's... that's my whole point. Like, so what is your point with it? It's telling us that we shouldn't do it, but you're going to tell me that you're not going to say that we can't do it. But what? Well, that's...
I mean, I'm offended. I'm personally offended and angry every time I see the Westboro Baptist Church protest a funeral. I find that disgusting, but I also would never support any legislation to prevent them
from doing it.
I kind of feel with you, but that's a bit different because they're interfering with somebody's grieving process. Yeah, exactly. It's not them. They're
infringing
protest.
On other people's rights in that situation.
I disagree with that.
You don't think so?
No,
you
don't
think you have a right to have it? Well, I mean...
No. I don't think that they're infringing. You don't have a right to be protected from somebody saying something about what's going on in a public sphere. They are very, very careful to walk the legal line. Yeah. They are lawyers fundamentally first.
Yeah.
They're lawyers. And so they know what they're doing. And I love living in a free country where jag-off moron monkey fuckers can stand on a corner with signs that says God hates fags. And then they can be blocked by a line of bikers who says, guess what?
Exactly.
You're not going to fucking get away with doing this to these people right now. That's what freedom's all about. And that's what I'm fucking for. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That was loud. We have a premium ad-free service. We already give you a free hour of entertainment, but the premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year. We also have another option, and that's the pay more if you want button. If you want to give us more money than $10 a year, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. We're actually continuing to give away some subscriptions to the needy because we have had some very generous donations in the past months. So, be generous, support the show if you can afford it, and please go to ardentatheist.com/ and subscribe. If you can't afford it, and I mean this, send me a fucking email and tell me you're poor, and I will happily give you a subscription to the premium part of our show. If you need to go download some illegal porn, now's the time.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Ian Harris, Ron Swallow, Maurice Northup, and Shelley Siegel.
On the wall, the people are letting me know that what different kind of ads are popping up.
Oh, really? What are we seeing?
Want to be a pastor?
Oh, no way.
That's fantastically awful.
Thanks, McJustice.
Thank you so much. I apologize to all of the viewers that we're having to suffer through the Ustream advertisements. It's just part of the deal. I wish there was a way around it. We
send them a letter. Waste some time.
I assume that in your description it has the word God in it.
Religion.
And atheism and stuff like that. So that's probably, yeah.
But it's kind of good to know that they're wasting their fucking money.
Yeah. I love that they're wasting their ad time on our folks. I will give you my left nut if somebody on my wall becomes a pastor because of that ad.
Yeah. on YouTube. Do it
just somebody out there wants you to lose a nut.
On YouTube, they have ads. When you have an ad on your video, you can't really control, I guess, what they play. And so on our atheist videos, sometimes they play religious ads. So I'm wondering, does that disturb you or does that make you happy? Because the people who probably click on those religious ads are probably atheists, don't you think?
Probably.
Because they're the ones that know more about it anyway, are looking to
find out what
bullshit they're spewing.
Right. I like the idea that we have targeted advertising in these mediums because targeted advertising it gives us a chance to let advertisers know what we don't and what we do like.
I like
that a lot. And
it's choice. It creates more choice.
Yes, it is a choice. It's not genetics. I think I've proven my point over and over with you. But it's really... It means that the advertisers are going to become more effective at speaking to us more personally. And I appreciate that. I've always felt kind of assaulted by ads. You know what I mean? But the focused ads are really, really not as offensive.
Sometimes they don't work well, but
like I think it's going to evolve. I think it's going to become better.
Algorithms will improve.
That's what I think.
That creepy thing that happens on Facebook now.
Oh,
when you go to a website, then you go off that website and go into Facebook. A little pop-up on the side, you know, those little pop-up ads will sometimes reference back to that website, and you're going, how do they know where I'm going?
Well, and then the sneaky dudes who are using that, they'll be like, do you like Batman? Well, and you almost click like when you read the rest of it that says, well, you'll like this.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a minute. And I click on it. And it's like, this
has Geico Insurance will insure your Batmobile.
All right. Exactly. I want to talk a little bit about our friend. I don't usually do it like this, but I'm really proud of Penn Jillette. And I want to call him a friend today out loud, because the way he handled himself on Celebrity Apprentice. Did anybody watch it?
Yeah, I heard. I read a little bit. I didn't watch it. I don't watch the show, but I read about it.
Yeah, Celebrity Apprentice in general is pretty awful. I've watched the last two seasons because our friend has been on it. Mm-hmm. And it's been really enjoyable to watch, actually. I've enjoyed the hell out of watching it.
Interesting.
And fundamentally, I don't like the idea, the concept. I'm not pleased with it. You hate it.
I don't hate it. I hated some people on that.
We can say Omarosa is a psychotic cunt, but that's just because it's our show. She's nuts. But I like watching that, actually. I mean, at the end of the day, I like jumping up and screaming at my screen, "You stupid bitch!" You know?
Don't we like?
That's why she's on it. That's why
don't
she's
we like TV shows that are written with crazy people in them?
Absolutely, we do.
That's why she stayed for so long.
Why am I not on TV? I'm very fucking unstable.
You don't seem that infuriating. I'm not punching anything.
And you will eventually be on TV, Maurice, when you finally penned the perfect psychotic rant.
Yeah.
And
no, when Cops comes back on.
I just.
And he's outside of Liquid Zoo going, "Hey, that's my fucking pocket knife, motherfucker. Yeah. You can't take that."
This is not a rambling manifesto.
I do not consent to be searched. That's every time he sees a cop.
They let me go. They gave me my pipe back and everything.
They did?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So here's what happened at the end of the show, which I want to talk about today. Did anybody see the clip I'm talking about?
Nope.
Okay, I'll play it right now. You'll be able to hear it. It came down to Trace and Penn in the finals. And Trace Atkins.
Country
music singer. He's really cool. I like him.
You hate Trace Atkins?
No,
music.
She hates,
I don't know him.
He hates the music.
I don't know him personally.
Is he from Idol? Is that...
Did he come out of Idol? I don't think he did. No. The other guy, Aiken, came out of Idol.
Out of Idol. Is it Chet Atkins' son or something?
I wonder if he's related to Chet Atkins. He may well be.
Well, then I like him. God
damn
it.
Right? He's really cool. As a person, he's really cool. So it was a pleasure to watch those two kind of go head-to-head because they're both really upstanding cats. They're both really honest dudes. And it was so much fun to watch two guys who obviously had kind of fallen in love with each other at the same time. So it didn't end up being one of those, you know, those cat fights that that everybody thinks they're going to see. We got to see this really nice battle for the... For the millions, actually, almost millions, a million and a half for their charity. It was really cool. So at the end, though, Trace was being interviewed in a OTF, and he said, here, we'll watch it right now.
Hey, man. How's everybody? I need Jesus to come through for me tonight. I've reached out to a lot of people, and I've run into a lot of dead ends, but I still got a couple of cats that are going to bring some bank.
Well, that's what he's bringing with him? Awesome. I got a definite on Tim Tebow.
How much?
Mr. Tebow is bringing $200,000 with him. Ooh. But, you know, he knows he's got to get there before 6:30. It's kind of... going to be close.
If he's bringing in what he says he's bringing in.
Penn Jillette's the most ethical atheist I've ever met. But I'm bringing Jesus. He's got Teller. They do magic tricks, but Jesus makes blind people see. It's unbelievable.
So
unbelievable is right.
Yeah. So Trace Atkins is, he's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. And I want to say, before I decided to do, well, tonight, when I decided to talk about this on the show, I sent a text to Penn, and I said, do you have anything to say about the Trace Atkins quote that's kind of being blowing up, you know? And it is blowing up, at least in our circles, in the atheist world. People are talking about how that's not really a compliment, which we'll get to. I think you had the same sense.
And people have mixed feelings about it.
I think it's fueled out of ignorance and not malice.
Right. That's nicely put. Say that again.
It's fueled out of ignorance and not malice.
Yeah, and he's a smart guy, and he felt really bad about it, he said. I'll pull my phone out and I'll get
Penn
the quote
said that
from
he
Penn.
Apologized over and over to him for saying that.
He was very apologetic about it. Yeah. He was saddened that they chose to put that in the show, because we say in OTFs you say a lot of stuff, and then the editors and the producers figure out.
Of course, they knew what would happen if you put that in there.
They're trying trying to create controversy.
Yeah. So he's really a nice guy. Trace was sorry they used that. It was an articulate black man is how Penn described it. In other words, you know, to say that, you know, for a black guy, that guy's
pretty
smart.
He's so well-spoken.
Yeah, and for the record, Trace is really, really smart for a country singer. And wow, did we blow everything out
there?
Yes. That was amazing.
We were laughing.
But, I meant that only as a joke. Trace is smart no matter who he is. He is so fucking smart and so sweet and so nice. I don't give a shit that guy...
Well,
felt like he was bringing in Jesus. Well, so I want to say that up front. But
how many times have we all just been chattering about something that you're a little bit passionate about, and then something comes out that you didn't really mean?
Oh, yeah.
Every 10 minutes on my show, I do it.
Yeah, but you know what? The thing is, I mean,
it does piss me off at the same time that you'd be like, okay, well, you can't have morals if you don't believe in a...
Well, that's where it's fueled.
I get that all the time.
Let's clarify the beat. Let's make sure we know what we're talking about. The listeners know what we're talking about. Say it again, Ron.
Well, that you don't have morals if you don't believe in a higher power.
That's it. That's where Trace is coming from. He knows better than that.
Yeah.
But he's conditioned in that way. Mm. He's been brought up to be a religious man, and he is conditioned with those ideas and ideals in the back of his head, and it flowed right out of there. That's not racism when someone does the whole accidental racism thing. It's not racism. It's fucking conditioning playing forward.
Brainwashing.
That's all it is.
Conditioned language.
Well, and especially when you say it, you hear it, and you go, oh, God, what have I said?
But the thing is, it comes from obviously perspective. I know so many conditioned Christians. I mean, I've heard that exact same quote to my face a billion times. And they would never apologize because to them,
that's the facts.
Yeah, but we do
they're
it
like,
all the time.
Wow, it's unbelievable. I've had friends go, you're a better person than every Christian I know.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what does that tell you?
I mean, the guy,
how many times, but how many times
Greg
have we said
Seitz,
that Christians
who's a,
are stupid?
Who's a believer. Yeah, I agree. We'll get to that. Greg Seitz, who loaned me his gear and everything, he's a believer. And he's been on the show, and he said it to me. He said it over and over again. He goes, you're the most ethical person I've dealt with in this entire process, and you're the atheist in the group. And, you know, and I had the conversation with him. I said, you realize what you're saying, and we talked about it.
I have a friend online on Facebook who is on the fence about his religion. He's slowly losing it, and
he talks to me. Click the ad, become a pastor, save yourself.
He talks to me, and he confides in me, and he says that whenever he brings anything up about evolution on his wall, all the religious people give him so much shit, and they're so mean and spitting horrible things at him. And he goes, "How come the religious people are doing this, but my atheist friend? They all, you know, they're all so nice, and you're so nice to me." And I said, "Well, you just..."
Well, and to take the other route, there's plenty of times that I've read a status update where someone put something super Jesus-y, and then atheist went in where it's like, "You are a fucking idiot.
Yeah,
you should be ashamed of how stupid you are."
That's what Maurice was going to point out. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, people aren't stupid because they believe in God. They're conditioned. They're deluded. And lots of smart people are delusional.
Yeah.
You know,
George Bush believes in God.
Jonas Salk.
I'd like to point out that George Bush
came up with the vaccine. I mean, this is clearly an intelligent human being.
Right.
He still believed in a God.
Yeah.
He still believed that he believed in evolution, mm-hmm. but he believed that evolution was, you know, the...
Started off by God. Manipulable. The
act of God. And he has no evidence for that. There's no evidence for that.
Well, what's his name? From the Human Genome Project.
Francis Collins.
Yeah.
It's the same
probably
thing.
The most famous what the hell.
Every time you think of that, you go, What the hell? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's
well, he's pretty smart for a geneticist. My point is...
And you used to believe Emery.
I did. I used to believe.
Smart guy.
I understand. Yeah, no, I'm not. Smart. No, I'm not. He's Thank you. I'll do the joke. Yeah, no, I don't feel like a really smart guy. I feel like... I'm not. I really don't feel like I'm a really smart guy.
You're thoughtful, though.
I am thoughtful. I try really hard to understand. I have moments where I think I'm retarded, actually.
You're experienced.
I think I'm retarded, and you guys are all just being nice. Are we going to go do that retard show? Yeah, it'll make him feel better. But I have feelings like that because I do have trouble processing things. And then when it's handed to me by someone who's really fucking smart, like, say, you're reading Hitchens, and you go, oh, my God, it's so simple. Why did I not make that connection? Well, because you're a fucking idiot. But I understood, as soon as I got rid of religion, I understood that it wasn't stupidity that made people fall for it. It's a lot of things. It's desperation. It's conditioning. It's upbringing. It's family. Yes.
Well, and here's a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think your having been raised by religion while you were younger started off your morals?
That's a great question. I absolutely love that.
I thought you were going to say started off your stupidity.
I think we're going to have to talk about that right after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on ardentatheist.com, available at the iTunes Store. More after this noise.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Dar Emery, Jonesy, Carl Barrett, Snake Oil, Donovan Baker, Herbert Reagan. See what I did there?
Herbert with the herbs.
Oh, no.
Cameron Winters and Joseph Swam. These were the screen names of the people chatting on the award-winning Wall of Reason 2 weeks ago. Keep posting, everybody. We love seeing all your delicious content.
And now back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Ian Harris, Ron Swallows, and Maurice Northup as well. We have the beautiful, the lovely, the singing Shelley Siegel. We have to have her sing.
I want to sing a song actually now about what we've been
talking about.
I added
an S to the back of your name.
I was going to say that. Thank you for adding an S.
I did it on purpose.
Did we tell the Ardent Atheist people what happened last week?
We went to GoCast Studios. We were scheduled to do a show.
That's what I was saying.
And Augie Smith came over. Clownvis showed up because he was booked to do the show. And Mike Baldwin was on his way. And they had the doors locked up, and they were removing all of the equipment from the studio because Greg had a falling out with the owners of...
They had removed everything.
They had removed. They were in the process of removing, actually. So that's what happened. Our apologies for missing a few shows as a result of this transition. I got only one nasty email from a premium subscriber who said, I'm not subscribing to you anymore. I'm sick of trying to find out where your shows are and stuff like that because we got behind on them. And all I can say to that guy is, sorry. I wish there was something more I could do. I will not say go fuck yourself, although that's how I feel. But
I can say go fuck yourself.
No. Oh. Anyway, no, really.
Too late.
Genuine apologies to anybody who's feeling frustrated by the fact that we got behind on posting and we missed a couple of shows. But we're catching up. We're doing it again. And we will get right back on track.
And we're looking for a new home. So any suggestions?
We are looking for a new home. I want to go to Ace. It. You know where I'd like to go is over at Ace. Those are the guys that do Penn Jillette. I think he's in that network for Penn Sunday School. And it's run by Carolla and his team. And I think they have a really good network over there.
There's a new place called T-Radio V that
I want to hear about
awesome.
It. Do they do video?
Yeah, they do video. And you're in a nice little booth.
You're looking at going there, aren't you?
I've already been.
Let's talk about your show real quick. What do you do? You have a podcast.
I actually had to stop it because they wanted to start charging me $50 a month.
That adds up when you do two shows, three shows a week.
Well, yeah. And the other thing is I just haven't built a reader. I've only been doing it for
followers.
I've been doing it like 7 months. So yeah. It's like I can't. It takes a couple of years to build up, like a big following.
Yeah.
So I just like, well, I guess I'll have to figure out a way to do it myself.
Right.
Yeah, which I'm going to do. So.
Don't do it out of your mom's house. She'll be sure you're gay. What are you going to sing for us?
Well, I was thinking of doing one related to what we were talking about before, because I actually wrote this song as a response to people telling me that I don't know how to be a good person without God, or that I can't have any immorality. And it's also, I remember having a conversation with my dad to do with the question that you asked Emery, like, do you think being raised in a religious household set your morals? And it's funny, my father's the president of an Orthodox synagogue.
And he's awesome.
Yeah, he came on the show.
I don't know that he came. He was here. He told me that.
Oh, my
Ron,
God.
Ron wasn't here.
No, he was not. Ron was not here.
Yeah, and he's never read the Old Testament. He has he's dyslexic and, you know, has trouble reading. And so he tries to tell me, you know, I say my morals are the same as yours, but they're not religious morals, you know. And he said, no, but I'm Jewish and I go to the synagogue and blah, blah, blah. It's like, but you've never read it. You've never read the book. You don't live by those morals. Those morals that you've taught to me have been influenced by modernity, by the Enlightenment, by, you know,
equality.
Yeah, that's right.
Equal rights and humanism, they're not religious concepts. Equal rights for women and gay people and minorities. That's a modern concept that I think is not part of religion. Anyway, so this song is about where I think our morals come from. And it's called My Morality. My morality has nothing to do with the Bible or the verses of the Quran. My morality won't judge you by your spirituality, but by the things that you have done. My morality is not set into stone tablets who don't even tell you not to hurt children. My morality is not dictated by your deity. It's developed from empathy, dependence, and love. My morality accepts everybody's sexuality, is more concerned with inequality than validations from above. My morality is not set into stone tablets who don't even tell you that it's worthwhile to be good for being good's own sake, that not to think for yourself can be a deadly mistake. My morality is not recitable from memory. It's something inside of me, how I want to be, treat others how I want them to treat me, and basically not to hurt anybody or pause any brutality. It stems from our common humanity, and it's what my mother to me, and it's mine because I'm free.
Well, bless your nice heart.
Did that song come to you from Jesus?
Straight.
No, I want to look here. Well, I'm curious. The Salamander song.
Yeah.
Could we do it?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay, sure. Right. I only played it not long ago.
I know, I know. I want to get a really nice recording of it.
Okay, cool. All
right, we're going to do the Salamander
song. I like doing funny songs around comedians.
Awesome.
So, just quick backstory. I was working at the market selling socks, and I was opposite a live fish stall, and they were... yeah, and like made the socks smell great. And we were... We were watching them all day, and the lady had these salamanders, like Mexican walking fish, axolotls, you know, the little eels with arms and legs. And she wasn't feeding them, and so they were, like, kind of more active than usual. I think that's to sell the fish. And so I fell in love with this little white dude, and I spent more than the money I made that day, and I bought the tank and the filter and the worms and the net and the rocks and the little plastic castle and the...
That's how they get you.
Yeah, and the little dude. My little salamander. And I was really looking forward to having him as well because I just got dumped that week, so I was really miserable and lonely. I'm like, oh, I'll have a friend. And I took him home to my family and I was like, quick, Mom, Dad, Josh, check out what I got. And I opened up the bag and he was dead.
Oh, man.
So I wrote this song about my dead salamander and my ex-boyfriend. And it's it's called The Salamander Song. And it's very serious. I prefer if you didn't laugh at my agony.
Okay. That's gonna happen.
I dreamed of you last night, and then my salamander died. I wish that you had died instead. Then maybe I could start to forget, and I would have had a pretty cool pet. But now my salamander's dead. Oh, salamander, if we could only go back to before. 'Cause you are beating fish again and I'm not getting laid anymore. I wanted to name him after you. You both seem to have the same shit to do. Just sit around in your room watching your life go to waste. And just like you, he would have been a distraction to pacify me with my own inaction. It feels like all my efforts been misplaced. Oh, salamander, if we could only go back to before. 'Cause you won't be eating fish again, and I'm not getting laid anymore. I wanted to bury him in the park, but I couldn't be fucked waiting for it to get dark. Had to do something soon before the smell settled in. It hurt that you weren't there to hold my hand. I guess not everything can go as planned. So I put him in a shoebox and I threw him in the bin. Oh, salamander, if we could only go back to before. 'Cause you've been left out in the trash and no one's pinning me against the shower door. Maybe it's not in good taste to tell myself you are both easily replaced. But what else can I do to make myself feel better? Oh, salamander, maybe I should go and buy myself a mouse. Or maybe I should tell my friends that I don't mind if they go and egg your house. When my salamander died, it reminded me how shit I feel inside about losing you. Yeah, when my salamander died, it reminded me how shit I feel inside about losing you. I wish that you had died instead.
Yeah!
That was badass.
Yeah. We're going to make a video of that song. That's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers later tonight or possibly next week. I don't know. We're really behind. I want to thank our guest Ian Harris, Ron Swallow, Maurice Northup, and Shelley Siegel. I also want to thank my co-host Heather Henderson. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
Do we ever know?
No, we really don't. Damn, what are we talking about?
Do we ever care?
Well, no, it's just going to be silly and stupid. This has been the free version of episode 116, another show that went off without a hitch.
We miss you, Hitch.
I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Bound for Tam Swam.
Yeah!
And our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Bound for Pay Winters.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheists. Ardent Atheists is a product of natural selection. Go.
We're going to be in San Diego June 1st. Check me out on Facebook and Twitter, Maurice Northup, N-O-R-T-H-U-P. Do a search, you'll find me. You can see my more offensive jokes.
Anything else?
Yeah, Angry Dorks will come out in the next month. I'm at the Comedy Store this Saturday, the 25th.
And watch out for your movie.
Yes, Ian Harris, Critical in Thinking. You can follow me everything.
Hurry up, the music's
at
over.
Comediocre. At Comediocre, whatever
can
the fuck
I,
that
can
is.
Can I plug one?
Go.
We got fans in Melbourne.
Go.
I'm going to be playing at Embiggen Bookstore, which is fucking awesome.
Oh, nice.
On the 30th of May. Thursday.
I'll just extend the music in the final episode.
RSVP.
Thanks, everybody.